All right, we're going to start in our Old Testament reading, which is in Isaiah chapter 51, starting at verse 12. That's on page 612 in the black Bibles that are out in the chairs, if you'd like to follow along. Isaiah 51, starting at verse 12 through 16. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the son of man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? And you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit. Neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. We will now move to our New Testament reading, which is going to be 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11. That will be on page 964 in the Bibles in the chairs. 2 Corinthians 1, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, good morning, everybody. Comfort is a universal desire, isn't it? One that we all share. This week, I had a fairly humorous experience at the gym. We were doing a challenge where we were trying to hold a plank as long as we could. If you don't know what a plank is, it's where you kind of lay on your elbows and your toes and you try to stay there as long as you can. Doesn't seem that hard, but it's actually pretty tough. And it's really more of a mental game than anything. And so I had the joy, I guess, of one of my trainers came over to me and tried to motivate me throughout the entire time we were doing a plank. She was yelling in my ear all different sorts of things. And when it really started to get hard, she was yelling at me to escape the moment that I was in. She was like, you're not here right now. You're in the mountains with your family enjoying a nice cup of coffee. You're on the beach enjoying a nice afternoon. Maybe you're at a Braves game. I definitely wouldn't go to a Braves game to relax right now. But it was interesting. It was a humorous experience to have this person screaming in my ear that I was supposed to escape the moment and go somewhere else. What was she trying to do? She was trying to invite me to escape the discomfort and convince myself that I was more comfortable than I actually was. Maybe then I could be able to endure the discomfort of the moment. Unfortunately, I did not have the mental fortitude to escape the moment that I was in. I was definitely sweating and miserable in the middle of the gym, and I couldn't get out of that. But she was drawing on this universal desire that we all have to be comfortable. Some of our healthcare workers might be familiar with the name Catherine Kakaba. I'm not sure. You can correct me on that later. She was a nurse theorist, and she developed in the 1990s a theory of comfort. And in her theory, she suggests that comfort is not just a luxury that those who are privileged might enjoy, but actually comfort is a necessity. It's a fundamental human need in order for us to be truly healthy. In her work, she identified four different contexts in which humans need, not just desire, but need comfort. We need physical comfort. We need our bodies to be healthy in order to be comfortable. We need spiritual comfort, an internal comfort, psychologically, spiritually. We need a social comfort. We need to be comfortable in the relationships that we have with others. And then we need a spatial comfort or an environmental comfort. We need to be comfortable in the spaces that we inhabit. Comfort in all of these areas, she suggests, is not optional, but essential. Last week, we introduced this new sermon series. We're walking through the book of 2 Corinthians. If you haven't grabbed one yet, I want to invite you to get one of these scripture journals that we have. They're in the table back there in the back. You can follow along and take notes as we go throughout this series. But this is actually Paul's fourth letter to the Corinthian church. And last week, we led off saying that this letter isn't just a letter from Paul, but ultimately, it's a letter from God, that God has a message, a miraculous message even, for the Corinthian church. And so I want us to be just struck this morning that as we step into the meat of this message, God's first word to his church is comfort. God wants to offer us the comfort that we all need. 10 times in this short passage, God says to this messy congregation, comfort, comfort. So what we discover this morning is that Catherine Kolkaba's theory, my trainer, they were drawing on this fundamental truth that's assumed throughout all of Scripture, that we were created to live in a state of comfort, physically, spiritually, socially, spatially. But most of the time, we're not. So what do we do about this? How do we experience this fundamental comfort that we all need? So this morning, we're going to look together at these verses and observe what Paul has to say about the occasion for comfort, the source of comfort, the content of comfort, our access to comfort, and the purpose of comfort. That sounds like a lot when I say it. I think we'll be able to get through it all. First, the occasion for comfort. Why do we need to be comforted in the first place? Well, this is because of the reality that we spend most of our lives, perhaps all of our lives, in some state of discomfort. Paul here describes this with the word affliction. It can also be communicated or translated pressure or discomfort. Paul wants us to experience the true comfort for our discomfort, the true comfort for our affliction. And he describes this affliction in three different ways. First, in verse 4, he says, "Blessed be God who comforts us in all our affliction, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any affliction." So initially, we should notice that Paul suggests that we need comfort for any and all of our affliction. Anything and everything that afflicts you needs to be comforted. This echoes Kolkaba's theory, doesn't it? We need to be comforted physically, spiritually, socially, environmentally in order to be healthy. Notice Paul doesn't just say that God comforts us just in our spiritual discomfort or with our spiritual afflictions, which we might assume, but God offers us comfort for all our afflictions. Physical afflictions, sickness, disease, mental health issues, ultimately death. Spiritual issues, sin, doubt, frustration with God. Social issues, relationship problems, marital issues, problems with your roommate, your classmate, your children, your neighbors, your coworkers. Spatial affliction. Living in a place that doesn't suit you for whatever reason makes it hard for you to thrive. Any and all affliction that we might experience, big or small, needs to be comforted and may be comforted by God. Our youngest, Izzy, I guess she's getting some extra airtime this morning. She started kindergarten this year, and ever since she started, she's been having kind of lots of big feelings, it seems like. And I've been telling her the story of the boy who cried wolf a lot lately, right? Because it feels like if she just bumps her knee, you don't know if she needs to be airlifted to Yale New Haven Hospital or if she just needs a Band-Aid, because the reactions are so big right now. I was struck, though, as I was preparing this sermon, that God doesn't ever tell us to stop whining. That actually we can cry out to God with big, loud cries, even for our small afflictions, and he hears us. God wants to comfort any and all afflictions. Whatever is afflicting you needs to be. He describes this as the affliction of Christ. We see this in verse 5. You might say, no. The only comfort that's offered here is that comfort that we share with Christ in his suffering. But what were the sufferings of Christ? Well, one of our core documents, the Westminster Confession of Faith, describes Christ's sufferings this way. He was born poor. He was fully human. He was subject to obey the entire law of God. He was tempted by Satan. He dealt with infirmities of the flesh. He was betrayed by his friends. He was condemned by his government. He died, and he suffered God's judgment. Do you hear that? Christ suffered physically, fully human, dealing with the sicknesses and diseases and all that comes along with that. He suffered spiritually. He had to obey all of God's law and was tempted not to. He suffered socially, betrayed by his closest friends. He suffered environmentally, constantly living in a place that was against his existence at all, hostile to his presence. Friends, if you're a Christian, if you've placed your faith in Christ, then you're united to him. That's how the Bible describes it, such that his suffering is your suffering and your suffering is his suffering. Not just necessarily suffering that you experience precisely because you claim to be a Christian, but it is suffering that you experience while living as a Christian. And so I will say, if you're not living by faith in Christ, then I would suggest that the comfort that we're speaking of this morning is not offered to you. The offer is for you, but you must come through faith in Christ. So one author says, if you're just going along with the flow of the world, there's no application here. Or if you're a Christian in name only, ultimately just claiming Christianity as another means by which you might experience your own comfort and tranquility. If you're only seeking an untroubled life, then this text is not for you. But on the contrary, if you have placed your faith in Christ, all of your affliction, all of your suffering, all of your discomfort is offered comfort this morning. Any and all suffering. It's a suffering that we share with Christ as we live by faith in him, and so it may receive the comfort that Paul offers. So Paul says that we can be comforted in any and all affliction as we suffer in faith, by faith in Christ, but he doesn't leave it general. He also then gives a specific example. So he says that our specific afflictions are in need of comfort. He alludes to this experience that he had in verses 8 and 9. He says, we don't want you to be unaware of this affliction that we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, it felt we had received the sentence of death. So while Paul is quick to say that any and all affliction must be comforted, he doesn't stop there, but he gets specific to let them know, I really mean this. And he's referring to some event that happened in Asia. We're not sure exactly what event he's referring to specifically. The Corinthians seem to have known about this event. It could have been there was a riot in Ephesus that he was involved in where he was about to be killed for his faith. He'd also experienced sicknesses. It could have been a physical illness that he experienced. It could have been a spiritual struggle that he was going through and is now speaking of metaphorically, or even a relational struggle that he was going through and now speaking of sort of metaphorically. We don't know exactly what it is, but Paul suffered plenty. He could be referring to any number of experiences that he had. But in this particular affliction, he thought he was going to die. And it was at the moment that he was at his greatest despair, thought he had received the sentence of death, that it was in that moment, in his naming that he actually experienced deliverance. Friends, the comfort that we all need, it's not just from vague abstractions, things that aren't really that bad. No, the comfort that God offers us is for the real nitty-gritty, awful things of life that we're experiencing. And I say this because I think many of us struggle to count our suffering as real suffering. I say this because some of you guys have told me this. So often as people are recounting some struggle they're going through, they always feel the need to qualify it, right? But it's all going to be okay. It's all going to work out. It'll be fine. I don't have it as bad as others. You know, it is what it is. But I'm convinced that to truly experience the comfort of God, We need to name our affliction specifically and honestly, just as Paul does here. Like, can you really, at the end of a conversation where you're recounting your suffering to somebody, say, I really feel like I'm going to die? That's what Paul does. That's what he did. And it was in that moment that the comfort of God came to him. So what is the true source of our comfort? See this in verse 3. You see, I think we need to name our affliction honestly and specifically because I think that not naming our affliction is just another way for us to control it. Maybe if I can keep it out there, keep it vague, keep it general, say it's not so bad, I'll do this mental gymnastics like I was trying to do in the gym the other day, and it won't be so bad. This is just another self-soothing tactic, and we all have our self-soothing tactics, don't we? I want you to think about that. What do you do when you find yourself uncomfortable? Physically, spiritually, socially, spatially. What do you do? Some of us, we might go to some things that are generally good. We might go to helping other people, parenting, hanging out with friends, exercise. Some of us might go to things that are relatively neutral. We just work a little bit longer or shop a little bit or we read or we scroll, something just to take our mind off it. Some of us might go to things that might be potentially harmful. Alcohol, drugs, social media, eating. And again, none of these things are bad in and of themselves necessarily. We all need to eat. I believe that God gives us good gifts to help us increase our level of consistent comfort. Psalm 104 says that God gives wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread to strengthen his heart. But we must realize that these activities, these things that we turn to, they're meant to be streams by which comfort flows to us, not the source of comfort itself. When I was little, my cousin, he had a stream that ran through his backyard, and after a good rain, we could spend hours playing back there. We'd kind of reroute it, you know, maybe you've done that, like grab rocks and you reroute the stream a little bit, or we'd find little crawdads or gross other little animals that lived in creeks and streams, and we'd always enjoy playing after a rain, but a few days later, it would be all dried up, right? And then if we wanted to play, we had to follow that dry stream up to the source. What Paul says here is that we have access to the source, the God of all comfort. And there's two implications of this. First, Paul is describing God as the God who comforts. I just want you to consider that for a moment. The Christian God in his nature, in the very same way that he's eternal, that he's righteous, that he's holy, that he's all-powerful and all-knowing, so also is he a God who comforts. It's just who he is. It's part of the nature of God to be comforting. You could translate that even as encouraging. You imagine, do you think of the Christian God that way? The God who comforts, the God who encourages. But secondly, it also means that he is the God, the source of all comfort. Any and all comfort that we experience and receive in this life, it comes from God. It has its source in God. The wine that gladdens the heart of man, the oil that makes his face shine, the bread that strengthens his heart, where does it come from? The psalmist is naming all of these things to show us that it all comes from God who is the source. So we might play in the streams of exercise, a good drink, a nice meal, a good friend, but all of these are means by which the God of comfort comforts us. Streams running from a source. So what do you do when the streams dry up? When you can't exercise anymore because of an injury? When whatever you're going through is more than what that little, that reading the book or whatever other distraction can distract you from? What do you do when the mental gymnastics don't work anymore? If you don't have access to the source of true comfort, you will despair. That's what Paul says in verse 9. All the streams had dried up, and he was on the brink of utter despair. I thought I was going to die. But what did this do? He didn't despair. It just led him to rely on God. He followed the stream back to the source. And this is such a gift. A.W. Tozer, an old theologian, says it this way: how completely satisfying to turn from our limitations to a God who has none. That's the invitation. Another commentator says it this way: despair is the natural byproduct of dependence on so limited a resource as oneself. Despair is the natural byproduct of us relying on all the ways that we can comfort ourselves. And so becoming a Christian and growing as a Christian is a progressive weakening of our instinctive self-confidence that leads to despair and our growth and radical confidence in God. Friends, we are given streams of comfort, and this is a gift, but these streams cannot replace the source. They must always flow from the source and lead us to the source which is God, who is an eternal reservoir of comfort. So what is the comfort that he offers us? What is the content of this comfort? What is this reservoir filled with? We see this in verses 9 and 10. The content of the comfort that God offers us is nothing less than resurrection from the dead. When the streams dry up, when everything seems like nothing but death and decay, we don't need to despair. For God is a God who brings life from death. In every moment of affliction, every time we're tempted or driven to despair, this is an opportunity to experience the resurrection power of God in our life. I love this quote I read this week: raising the dead is no abstract attribute of God, but it's what God typically does. And Paul gives testimony that this has happened, is happening, and is going to happen again. He says, God, he delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Theologians refer to this as God's action in the past and the immediate future and the ultimate future. Paul has hope because God has delivered Paul. He delivered Paul in Asia. And so Paul is certain that God is going to deliver him again from whatever affliction he experiences. And his ultimate hope is that God will ultimately comfort him, deliver him from death. Sorry, but one of the worst things you can tell me when I'm suffering, and maybe you've received this, is, oh, it's all going to be okay. Somebody said that to you when you're in a moment of extreme suffering? I want to advise you not to say that to someone. It doesn't help. Somebody tells me that, and I can think of maybe 450 outcomes of my current situation, and none of them are okay. But friends, God is the only one who can tell you it's all going to be all right. And you can trust him because he can raise the dead. That means that even if it's not all right in our definition of the word, even if it all hope seems lost, all hope is not ultimately lost. Because even if we die, that's not the end of the story. Friends, God can break through with his resurrection power to restore your physical health when the doctors say there's no hope, to restore your soul when you feel like faith is so far from what you know, to restore your marriage when you feel like everything's falling apart, to restore our world, to make it a place that's peaceful to live again. And even if he doesn't do it now, or he doesn't do it how we would like, or in the timing that we would like, he is a God who raises the dead. So even if you die, the story's not over yet. And I want to be honest with you this morning that the reality is we might die waiting on the comfort of God. It might be only through the gates of death that we experience that comfort of God that we're so longing for. And Paul says this in verse 6. He says that we activate the comfort of God. How? Through patient endurance. And I got to be honest with you, this is the thing that sucks most about being a Christian. Is that we activate the comfort of God. How? By patiently enduring. This means that you might have to follow that dried up stream for many miles before you can swim in the reservoir of God's comfort. Even Jesus had to remain dead for 3 days before he experienced the resurrection power of God. This is hard. I know that if I'm stressed and I grab that whiskey bottle, it's going to bring some immediate relief. Or if I'm tempted to sin, if I just give in, then it'll bring some immediate relief. But it will not bring the comfort that we all ultimately need. There are no shortcuts to experiencing the comfort of God, to experiencing the resurrection power of God. It's activated and accessed only through patient endurance. But how do we get it? How do we actually open ourselves and receive the access to the comfort of God? Verse 5. Paul explains in verses 4 and 6 that to the degree that we've suffered and experienced the comfort of God ourselves, that's the degree that we can offer that comfort to others. And friends, no one has suffered. No one has experienced the comfort of God like Jesus Christ. If you've ever thought to yourself, no one can understand what I'm going through, that might be true until you meet Jesus. For Jesus is not someone, as Hebrews says, who was unable to sympathize with our weakness, but he's one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Friends, ultimately we have access to the comfort of God because of Jesus Christ alone. This is why faith is essential to experience the comfort that's offered to you. Because Jesus alone gives us the access to that comfort. Because Jesus alone was fully God and fully man. So fully God, he's not just a stream of comfort, but he is himself the source of all comfort. Life in himself, power over death. And yet, as a human, Jesus actually experienced death, actually experienced the sufferings that you suffer, the discomfort that you deal with. Suffering, temptation, anxiety, grief. He experienced it, and yet he has defeated it. No one has gone through death like he has and overcome it, but he has. So he can say what no other human can say to you. It's gonna be all right. I know it for 100% confidence because I've gone through the very depths of hell and come out again. I can promise you it's going to be all right, even if you die. It's not the end of the story. We're going to sing a song in a couple of minutes. It says, soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. But how can we do that? How can I look into Jesus' face? He's in heaven. For this, Christ has given us his body, the church. This is what Paul says in verse 4, that God comforts us in all our affliction that we might be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Ultimately, we experience the comfort that flows from God through other people who have themselves experienced comfort from God. This is how God has designed it. This goes back a little bit to last week, why the church is led by messy messengers. Because only messy messengers, messy ministers can experience the suffering and then the comfort of God to then offer it to others. So if you ask me, how do I know that this message is true? How do I know that the comfort of God is real? Friends, it's because I've experienced it. Even as soon as this week, deeply experienced the comfort of God. It's a very live lesson for me. I spent much of my life in a very Christian way, covering up my afflictions. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's just the plan of God. It'll be fine. Only over the last 5 or 6 years have I really grown in naming my afflictions to God and to others that I might experience his comfort. And I got to say, I felt that this week, starting a new kind of ministry year without some of the families and individuals that we've sent on from our church over the last year. If you have been here for the last year, you know this. I counted it up this morning. Over the last year, we've sent off 17 people in 6 different families. These are individuals and families who have been integral to our church over the last 5 or 10 years. And so it's been sad to start a new year without some of these core families. And I've been trying to name that grief more specifically and honestly to others. And I want to tell you that God has been amazing in his comfort. I had a meeting with a friend on Wednesday who he sat down literally, and he didn't quote this passage to me, but he essentially said, man, I've been really suffering lately. And I think that God's comforting me in it so that I can comfort others. Like, he almost said those exact words. I was like, man, you got to see what I'm preaching on Sunday. And then on Thursday morning, I was still feeling a little bummed. I sent a message to our leader team and just asked them to pray. Just I needed the comfort of God. I had a phone call that I had set up a week or two before with a guy in our presbytery, another pastor in our region. Frankly, didn't really want to have this phone call. But God used that phone call beyond what I ever would have guessed to bring me deep comfort. Let me tell you, as I've named my own sadness and grief to others, God has used others to offer to me his comfort. They've done this through empathizing with me. Man, I've been there. I know how that feels. They've experienced this hardship so they can genuinely feel the sadness of families that you love moving on. But then they've also helped me to celebrate all of you. And so grateful for each one of you who are here, many of you who are making great sacrifices to stay here, to live here when you've had opportunities to move elsewhere, making great sacrifices to come here on a Sunday morning to worship and to serve. And then these pastors have also suggested, hey, we've seen this and we expect that God is going to continue to bring new families and individuals to come and serve him in this church, that he's going to find a way to continue to have CPC worship in Black Rock for many years to come. Do you see that, what I've experienced this week? That these other people, these other pastors, they brought to me the comfort of God. How? The same way that Paul is doing with the Corinthians. They give testimony to how God has delivered in the past. Yeah, we know we've been there. They have hope that he will deliver and even is now through all of you. And he's giving hope, they're giving hope that he will deliver again in the future. This is the comfort of God. A God who has delivered, who will deliver, and will deliver again. And this ultimately leads to the purpose of comfort. If you've ever suffered, I expect that you've asked the question, why? Why am I going through this? The beautiful offer to you this morning in the comfort of God is that your suffering has meaning. Again, we've already referenced these verses in 6 and 7. That Paul understood that the entire point of his suffering and comfort cycle was for the good of the other. And this is the beauty of suffering in a church context, my friends. Your suffering has meaning. We need you to bring your suffering to the community of the church, that we might be able to offer to you the comfort of God. And then we might be able to experience God's deliverance in your life, celebrate that with you. And then you could turn around and offer that hope to others. One pastor I read this week talked about a really dark time he was going through spiritually and in ministry. And his wife said, hey, lean on my faith. I've got enough for both of us right now. And that's what we do in the church. When your faith is faltering, go to a friend. Lean on their faith to get you through. And then when that friend's faith is faltering, they can come to you and lean on you to get them through. This is the invitation of the church. This is the comfort of God that's offered to all of us. We might have to follow for many miles the path of a dried up stream, but we're not doing it alone. We do it in the community of the church. And together, there's a day coming, friends, when we will fully play in the reservoir of God's comfort. I just want to put this picture before you to end with Revelation 21. Here, this picture of where we're all heading together, the reservoir from which we might draw. The writer writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Friends, there's a day coming. As we all trudge up the dried up streams towards the source, when we will experience the comfort that we were all created for. Physical, spiritual, relational, spatial. Comfort beyond what we could ever imagine. As we await that day, we do so by faith in the Son of God, the one who knows every one of our struggles and can comfort us with the resurrection hope that he offers. Let's pray. God, there is no comfort like the comfort that you offer us. No one else can say with confidence that everything's going to be okay. But that's what you tell us here this morning. And so, God, I pray that you would open us to receive that word from you. Man, that we would stop our anxious toil, trying to resolve all the pain and suffering in our lives and the lives of those that we love. Man, that we would stop our constant distraction, trying to escape the reality of the suffering and the anxiety and the pressure and the afflictions that we feel. And might we turn to you, God? Would you give us the patient endurance? And might we lock arms in this? Comfort one another as we follow this dried up stream, that we might experience you, the source, the God of all comfort, and the comfort that you offer that we can find nowhere else. Might we know that even this morning? And I pray, God, that we would experience your resurrection power, your deliverance breaking through in mighty and abundant ways. And the physical sufferings that we have as a congregation, sicknesses, mental health, I pray that you would break through with resurrection power. And the spiritual struggles that we have here as a congregation, ways in which we struggle with doubt and uncertainty, and even sin, would you break through with your resurrection power? And the social suffering that we experience here as a congregation, ways in which our marriages or relationships and friendships are broken, would you break through with resurrection power? And in the spatial suffering, God, the sufferings of our cities, our country, our world, and the divisions, God, would you break through with resurrection power that we might have hope, an unfading hope of resurrection, of glory, of the ultimate comfort that we're all heading towards. God, would you break through with that we might have hope, we pray. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.